On the first Sunday in December, in the final year of Barack Obama as President of the United States, when Greg Abbott was the governor of Texas and Andy Doyle was the bishop of the Diocese of Texas, and Susan, whose brother's name is Mike, was a verger at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church, the Episcopal Church women met at 9 a.m. What a strange way to speak or think of things in the context of who was leader, even down to the relatives of those who were in power. But this was the way of the society in biblical times, and to some extent, the way we behave today. When we meet someone, we want to know who they are and where they came from. We want to know who their people are, and if we know their people. And the Old Testament is filled with the genealogy of the people of God, and we all get sort of confused, even me, with how to pronounce those names, so we say it with authority. But in the New Testament, we see ties back to the Old Testament, and we see how Jesus fulfills all these old prophecies of this Messiah to come. Today's Gospel and Old Testament readings are reminders that Isaiah and Malachi are foretelling the coming of Christ. In today's Gospel, we have a little taste of John the Baptist, and don't worry, he's back next week, and we see him again. John the Baptist is a reminder to each of us to be ready for the coming of Christ. Christmas, he comes as a man, and we know he comes permanently as our Savior at his resurrection. So what's the difference in society before and after Christ? And does Jesus expect us to look at one another in a different way? Today we're scattered all over the place, and our family sometimes feels less important. But in small rural towns and communities like ours, we still rely on who you are and who your family might be. Jesus teaches us, though, that we need to move out of our comfort zone and hang out with those we are less comfortable with or know less about. Jesus, you will recall, hangs out with all sorts of undesirables, from tax collectors to Samaritans to prostitutes and more. Jesus never asks anyone who their parents might be. But he does satisfy the old guard by being in the line of King David. Jesus was the real deal as far as his pedigree, but never once did he use that as an entryway into the community. Jesus teaches us instead to hang out with everyone, and that everyone is a member of our community, from the poor and uneducated to the wealthy and well-educated. From people just like us to people who are so different than we. From people whose skin matches ours to those whose skin is very different. And Jesus expects us to invite all those people into our own communities. And you know what? That's hard. I mean, what are you going to talk about with the kid who lives in the falling down house trailer on the west side of town? Or what do we have in common with the homeless teen who came off the streets to worship with us a few weeks ago? Or what does a Belleville person know about a Hempstead or Waller person, let alone a Chapel Hill person? And what does a teacher know about ranching? And how can you possibly find something in common? Or what in the world am I going to talk about with a 40-year-old something man who's been in prison for 25 years? In our lesson from Philippians, we get a pretty clear answer. We are to be in constant prayer for one another and share the gospel, not just with people like us, but everyone. We're to get right out there into our discomfort zone, a place where we're not very comfortable and may even feel a little frightened. This week I went up to see Jamie, who I visit twice a month at the Hughes unit in Gatesville. You all will recall that I met Jamie because his mom was one of my parishioners in Marlin up at St. John's. And I started going to visit Jamie twice a month nearly 3 years ago. And when I left, I tried to find a substitute, but we don't have a church in Gatesville, and St. John's doesn't have a permanent person to replace me. So I asked the bishop's permission to keep visiting Jamie. And our vestry here has been very generous in understanding that. And so by extension, Jamie is now in your community. He's a fellow member of my community and therefore yours. And when I take off my Fitbit, I guess they don't like the prisoners to know how many steps we've been taking, and I leave my cell phone and all other worldly possessions except a Bible, a driver's license, my car keys, and for me, some reading glasses, I go through a metal detector, a pat-down, and I read notices through four different security stations. No hostage negotiations. Enter at your own risk. And finally, I meet across glass and with a telephone for the allowed 2-hour visit. And sometimes I confess, I feel just a little scared for my own safety. And then I remember the words of Christ. Visit those in prison. Care for the widowed and orphans. Love one another. That's our ultimate call, to serve and love one another. And the prayer we need to have for one another is the prayer that your love may overflow more and more with the knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. What a beautiful sentiment, that our love may overflow. I always think of the movie, which was a Dr. Seuss book, on the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And you all remember this. It's now, of course, many shows, but it's also a book, where the Grinch sneaks into Whoville and is determined to ruin this festive and joyful occasion of singing and love. And he steals all the presents, and he steals the food, and he's so certain that he's going to take away the spirit of these people, the Who's, that he's amazed when instead they begin to sing joyfully despite all the presents being gone and the food missing. He realizes then and there that the love in Whoville is overflowing, and even the old Grinch grows kindness and love and brings Christmas back to this little community. And so this Advent season, think a little bit about who is really in your community and how you might show them a little love. Think a bit about whether you are overflowing with love. You realize you might encounter a Grinch anywhere in your journey, and even when you overflow with love, you realize that you can make a difference in the lives of others. Remember, you're preparing the way of the Lord, and you are called to forgive and love, and in doing so, you'll be showing the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.